It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Oh, and when I start talking, you don't have to bring down the music that fast. Well, yeah, we got new guys in there. We'll all get it together. You know, one thing I want to make sure that we focus on today, I'm going to give you a little treat. You go to Freedom's Phoenix right now. Go to freedomsphoenix.com. Freedom with an S, phoenix.com spelled out. And Afterburner, we're going to space, and government is not invited. You know, this piece, this video, this, I mean, it's good. It's good. It's about 15, 20 minutes. I tell you, we'll play it, you know, when we get a chance today, because, I mean, this is exactly the same age frame that I am in. The same kind of history this gentleman talks about and does. It's good. It's good. It's telling you where the space race is going. It's in private hands. We'll be just fine. While NASA worries about Islamic relations. So what we are going to do today in the expansion of our minds and expansion of the liberty movement and freedom and revolution and all, we, you know, there are ambassadors of our Kwan. Yeah, that was something else I got. Yeah, there's ambassadors of freedom, ambassadors of just liberty. The example, you know, it has to be embodied. I mean, you always have, you know, an esoteric, a philosophical, you need a physical manifestation of what you feel. You need a physical manifestation of what can be. You need ambassadors. You need people. You need boots on the ground. You need wheels on the road. And we have the Liberty tours coming up. You know, these guys as Motorhome Diaries from before, but now they're doing it again. Pete Dyer and Adam Mueller from Motorhome Diaries. Now it's Liberty on Tour. I got you on there, Pete.
Adam, we're right here with you. Great. How's it going, Ernie? Thanks for having us.
It's all good. We only got about a minute left in this segment. It's just an intro. We're going to get going. But, you know, in that 1 minute, just introduce yourselves real quick, where you came from and what you're doing and why you're doing it again.
Sure. So this is Pete. Adam and I are about to set out on another cross-country adventure, trying to introduce the ideas of liberty to people. We both self-describe as voluntarists, so we're taking our RV. We're going to go on a 13-city, 13-week tour, hold meetups, do on-the-ground activism, try to learn from people, share things, connect folks, and we're essentially just trying to advance the freedom movement, just like you're doing, Ernie. We think this is our comparative advantage, so we're really excited. We've done a lot of groundwork, and things are looking pretty good right now. So that's all at libertyontour.com.
Libertyontour.com. What about you, Adam?
Same thing. You know, just to echo the same. Motorhome Diaries is a great success, and there's nothing that replaces being on the ground and coming into people's areas to spread the ideas of a true voluntary society. So, like Pete said, we're hashing out a lot of the details that we had done while on the road with Motorhome Diaries to free up our time and get us the ability to be embedded on the ground with local activists across the country.
Oh, and they're coming to Phoenix. Everybody's got to start by Phoenix.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby. We're going to roll out the red carpet and have some good old fun. You know, we have at the end of the month, Michael Badnarik's going to be coming doing his constitutional class. We'll be, you know, pushing that and making sure everybody goes. But we have voluntarists. What are they pushing? Well, we're going to find out when we come back, talk all about it. You stay right there and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
But you know what? You're going to be faced with that choice. There's no getting around it. This country, this planet, is going to be shown what a world will be without borders, boundaries, or controls. And somebody is going to be their guide. Somebody, a bunch of people are going to be. Let me tell you some of those guys are. It's going to be the Liberty on Tour with Pete Iyer and Adam Mueller. Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, can you play it loud enough? I don't think so. You know, Pete, Adam, I want to make sure, you know, my daughter, Sierra, you met her up at Pork Fest. She's been helping me produce because we're getting a lot of good stuff. She's been a big help. And I'm telling you, it is. She went and saw the movie Inception last night. And I go, do you understand now? Do you understand how powerful an idea is if it can be planted deep enough in someone's personality, their psyche, the base understanding at an early age, which is why the government, you know, wants to get, you know, preschool at 3 months old. You know, I can. Do you understand how powerful it is? Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Still voting? Voluntary societies are better? In the end, freedom always wins. It just gets messy. I mean, you get freedom at a base, then you can change the freaking planet. And you guys are going out across the country, keeping this thing going. Tell me what your mission. You know, before that, Sierra just wants to say hi. Say hi, Sierra.
Hey, guys.
You know. And that's like the third word she's ever said on the show. I got you guys there still?
Say more when we come down there for the meetup that we're actually going to hold, I believe, in the studio there or the warehouse.
I'm sorry.
We're going to bring a bus full of college kids from ASU down.
Woohoo! We're going to have us some fun. You know, last time you guys were here, you know, it was a big hit. A lot of people were really glad to see you. I just let you know whatever deal we work out, you know, for us getting Freedom's Phoenix on the bus. You know, I would have paid probably three times as much, but too late. You already sent the contract.
Next time. We'll be on tour too.
I just want to be associated with you guys because, man, you know, it really is inspirational. Sierra, say, you know, just to have, I'm going to suck you in on this, just to have someone, you know, good-looking guys like this, have them out there preaching to your generation. You're 20 years old. I mean, do you get a little bit of attention, you know, you give to that rather than listening to old dad yakking?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's better to have people your age because you just relate more to them other than just crazy old people. So
crazy old people! That's what I am! You know, you're done. Thank you very much. You can leave now.
You know, we say the same things about people we meet on the roads, and we like to attend the colleges and do that scene as well, even though we're a little past that in age. But it's real encouraging. We met some folks in Motorhome Diaries, and we hope to do the same with Liberty on Tour. But that are in high school even, that one signed our guest book, which is The Ceiling of Marv, which we hope everyone else gets to come out and see. But they signed it, what does it say up here? Fight with Weapons of the Mind, a Mises quote. And 16 years old, I mean, at 16 years old, I was more worried about like driving around my Ford Tempo than I was what Mises had going on.
Oh, no, I'm telling you guys, I was you. you know, years, when I first started, I mean, heck, at birth, you know, I'm just want to be left alone. And what happens is because of my activism over 22 years and my children, I really first got going at, became aware when Sierra, that you just heard, when she was born. And I understood what was going to happen by the time she got to be my age then, mid-20s, late-20s, that this entire planet was going to be totally different, on the wrong path, and there had to be somebody doing something. And I went out and doing all my kind of, and the only time I ever came across anybody even understood the motivation for even doing the kind of projects like you're doing were these guys called libertarians. And it had nothing to do with a party. It was a philosophy. It was an understanding. It was thou shalt leave me alone is the first directive. And I'm going, you know, this is cool. This is cool. If we had this type of education, this exposure, these kind of television shows, these kind of movies, this kind of embedded in our minds at an early age, the way it used to be, this you know, truth, justice, and what used to be the American way, where the heck that was, you know, if we had that done then, this planet would be totally different. And it's to the advantage of the big bad guys to keep that out of our minds. But it, with the internet, it gave us an opportunity to infect an entire generation. And this movie Inception is going, I'm going to use and abuse the crap out of that thing as time goes on and more people see it and it comes out on DVD and I can use cuts and so on, because it helps explain, like The Matrix. You know, I'm going to show the power of an idea that's at its base. And what the reason I played that one Matrix clip is that I know we're here. I know you're there. FYI, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to tell these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them something.
Totally, Ernie. It's all, like you said, it's all about sharing these ideas and interacting with folks. And today with the internet and us being able to get out on the road and actually meet people in person and you going around and speaking and do what you do, like, and everything else everybody else is doing is great. We're all learning from each other and introducing people to these ideas. You know, we're not using the violence of the state to try to control them. You know, we're trying to reach them and help introduce them to these ideas of peace. And, you know, I just was finishing Rosewater Rose's Discovery of Freedom. And in that she says, you know, this was written in 1943 maybe, and she said, you know, in the past three generations in America, she was talking about from a grandfather to a grandson, like more wealth was created, more people lifted out of poverty, more inventions, more, you know, like the evolution happened at a much greater pace than ever throughout history because, you know, of these communication techniques and things like this, and they're just moral ideas. They just make sense. They're ethical, and so I think, you know, this is unstoppable. We're just going to continue to go and reach that voluntary society where people are free to act as they wish, as long as they don't violate the rights of others, as long as they don't initiate force.
Yeah, you know, it's the power of language, the power of written language, the power of the printing press, oh my goodness, the power of song, the power of the telephone, telegraph, television, radio, internet.
Exactly, I mean, Ernie.
As it progresses.
Now we even have the internet, and that's what we'd like to do with Liberty on Tour is just... you know, you have the bus, we have all these great organizations like yourself. It's not just two guys in an RV, though it is. It's this message, it's this group, it's this following, and it's a variation of ideas on this thing and that people can choose from. We have our particular flavor, but we're trying to get people to understand, you know, just plant that seed. We're going to do 13 cities in 13 weeks, and we hope to meet people that are questionable and just learning about the ideas of true liberty and leave them with something, whether that's anti-war, Freedom's Phoenix, you know, all these other organizations that are with us. Liberty on Tour can be the medium for those people to further their learning. I mean, at the end of the day, we can only plant the seed. Everyone else has to take the other step on their own.
You know what? I'm thinking something that would be a perfect inspiration for you. There, at the top of Freedom's Phoenix today is it's just a 16-minute clip on the space race going private and so on, but it's very inspiring. You do that. Yeah. You do Stephen Molyneux's thing on The Matrix. You know, we're just on farms. You know, the end of free range is not freedom. You're a chicken McNugget box. And you
right.
do those two things along with maybe the philosophy of liberty. If I created a triple feature, something like that, might be a half hour worth of stuff, and made a gazillion DVDs for you guys to pass
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we would love to distribute. We would love to distribute that.
That would
Liberty is one of my favorite videos. We're actually discussing putting that on our about page at some time.
Yeah, and we're here up in Keene, New Hampshire now with the Free State Project and also freekeene.com. And, you know, the past few nights we've been talking, having conversations with some of the police officers up here. And, you know, just, you know, they'll come out and hang out for like an hour or two. And so a number of us have just been having calm, rational conversations. And some officers have been more receptive than others. But one officer, you know, after being requested, even provided me his email address. And I'm going to follow up with him and provide some resources, I think, that he may want to check out, including the Philosophy of Liberty and these other great resources you talk about. So, yeah, we would love to hand this kind of stuff out. I mean, we see, like, you know, Alex Jones and those folks. Like, we meet last year on the road, we saw a lot of their people, and some of them came out to the meetups and stuff. And they were handing out those DVDs left and right. And I thought, hey, wouldn't it be great if
we are going to make sure that you are supplied with the stuff that you need. Don't you fret none. And we're going to talk about volunteerism. What the heck are they telling these cops?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
I gotta break free. Who's gonna help me do that? Especially if I'm a young man, young woman, and I just don't know nothing other than what the mandatory youth indoctrination camp leaders has been telling me. What do? I go to that truth button thing, and you know, we have Liberty on Tour with Pete Iyer and Adam Mueller. Am I saying your guys' names right?
Close. Mine is, and this is Pete. Mine's actually Air, like the air you breathe, or Jane Air.
And mine's like the Miller, like the beer, Miller.
Okay. Pete Air Adam Miller. Got it. Okay, thank you. The because it's been, I've even said it a lot worse than that before, so thank you very much. Now, one thing I want to have you guys explain to the audience, when you're talking to these police officers, a lot of times their big problem is not, you know, just not understanding. Whether they agree with you or not, it's not even the point. In Free Keene, in the southwestern part of New Hampshire up there, and that's where the anarchists are. That's where the civil disobedience guys are. That's the people that are up against the man nose-to-nose, toe-to-toe, going, you know what? We be unafraid, and we're going to let's drag this. We just want to show you for what you are. This force that you're using,
yeah,
not going to work
exactly.
Here.
Did you see the mass arrest on Sunday?
No.
Tell me. Drinking in the park, the public park.
Tell me everything.
Well, there was a few folks, some local to Keene and some Free Staters that were in the park, probably about four or five. They were drinking beer and just having a Sunday. It was beautiful out, like 80 degrees. The cops came, told them they couldn't drink in the park, that they had to finish it, and they finished their drinks. The cops left, and then they later came back because they didn't leave, and they were still drinking more beer, and then said they ticketed one person and then were trying to arrest a woman who just so happened to be having her breast painted at the time in the park, and she didn't want to go for the summons. It's a non-violent, non-victim crime, and they ended up forcibly taking her. At which time, you know, some people stood in front of the police cars and to keep them from taking this person to jail. There's video of it on freekeene.com's YouTube channel.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, and then afterwards, some supporters went to the police station and also drank beer there because drinking beer is a personal choice and you're not harming anybody, which is also voluntarist ideals. And you should be free to choose what you want to put in your body. And especially in a place that's public where you're all being forced to pay for it. And so they drank beer in the police station, and about five or six people did that, but only two were arrested at that time. So, yeah, it's a total of seven people. One person got two tickets, and all because the police state that says, hey, you got to pay for this, but you can't do what you want here, and even though you're not harming anybody else, it's what we like to call revenue generating. And that all went down on Sunday. And again, you can hear about that at freekeene.com and or at their YouTube channel.
Okay, now this is one thing that I want to, you know, after talking to these officers before and after this kind of thing, they've had experience with
the guys. That's actually what started the officers showing up in the park every night. See, we have a nightcap in Keene
where people come out and they socialize with one another, and some drink and some smoke cigars and cigarettes and other things. And so we've been doing that for about 2 months. And then this Sunday they had this arrest. And then now ever since then, the cops have been coming to it. So there's probably about 20 to 30 libertarians there, or free staters, every night. And four or five of us will crowd around an officer and talk with them about the ideas and legalization and how they're paid and the use of force and nonviolent, non-victim crimes.
And the impact. Now, the impact, whether they agree with you or not, they're not going to come out and go, yeah, I'm with them, and start letting you paint flowers on their forehead. But, I mean, they are increasing in their understanding of the concept. Can you get that out of them?
Yeah. I mean, they understand, and some of them are on board with, like, legalization, maybe not of all drugs, like True Liberty would say, but at least for, like, marijuana. And they understand that how that actually increases the danger of their job, and they do understand how I mean, you'd be surprised at how much they understand. I have video of this, because Pete and I are also contributors to coplock.org, and that's a pro-police accountability website. And so we film, you know, we're big advocates for filming all government officials, but especially police officers, as they tend to use the force on people. But so we film all this, and I hope to put this video up soon. But my point is, you'd be surprised how much they understand, but you'd also be surprised how much they're stuck on, this is my job, and I have to do my job right mentality. I even gave an example to one officer, asking him where his line was. And if they said that you couldn't have blankets in the park and lay on the grass, would he come and forcibly take people to jail? And he said, if it was a law, yes, even though he knows it's ridiculous. He would come and take people to jail for that.
You know, I want you to go ahead, and when we come back in the next segment, that you're going to be able to explain this whole alien concept to this radio audience of voluntarism, algorithm.
Okay.
This is going to be a good lesson for everyone. This is what this whole thing is about. But in the, you know, getting 10 seconds, tell me, where did you come from? What was your job? You got out of college, you went to college, or you didn't, and you came to this from what?
Well, for me, real quick, I mean, long story short, justice system. I'm a victim of the war on drugs. Again, nonviolent, non-victim crimes. I've done time for that. It made me lose faith in the justice system. Eventually found my way through the Ron Paul movement, and then on the Motorhome Diaries, where I feel that I found true liberty.
When we come back, we'll get more from, you know, each of these guys, where they came from. Then I'm going to get the whole point of their tour. We'll be right back.
Give me a call. It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah. Madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurting, you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? And would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Just scratching the surface. It's just started. It's just getting going. We got it going on here in America, and it's an inspiration to the rest of the planet, as it always has been. And we're doing our work here in Arizona. And I'm telling you, you know, Pete, Adam, which one was giving me the history of their, you know, their brush with the law? Was that Adam?
That was me, yeah, Adam.
Okay, now let's go ahead and pick it up right there. You become, you know, This I wouldn't bother anybody. This sucks. So now you're motivated to what? You start doing what? Is the Dr. Paul's campaign brought you out of the wilderness?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was arrested in like 2002, and then by the time all my legal things were done, it was like 2004. And so I pick up you know, I get involved in the justice system, things like that, and I find out that the justice system is a joke. If you're not you don't have money, you know, you pay your way out of trouble. And if you pay the man enough, you can get away with whatever you want. But essentially, I got turned on to the Ron Paul thing when I realized you can't change the justice system, which then led me to a Campaign for Liberty conference in St. Louis where I heard about Pete and Jason and the Motorhome Diaries, joined up with them a weekend. You know, I would say I was a constitutionalist libertarian at the time, and now I'm a full-blown voluntarist, which, you know, essentially I just believe in voluntary interactions, and it was a relative process for me due to my – or easy transition for me due to the – background with the justice system and just seeing how directly government can affect you and how directly it isn't there to work for you.
No,
common sense.
No, the government, they love you, man. They're here to help. relieve you of your money. You know,
the thing is, Ernie, they may have good intentions. The government agents, officers, whatever, they may be well-intentioned, but they don't have the incentives necessary to make the best decisions. You know, they're absent the market signals, and that's essentially what voluntarism is all about. It's about, you know, a lot of your listeners probably believe in, like, they're advocates of the free market, which is great. So why not have a free market in every good or service? If they believe that groceries should be provided by the free sector, that government would do it inefficiently, and there'd be famines and things like that, then why allow for government this centralized monopoly of bureaucracy to have decision making, you know, to be able to run that provision or service? It doesn't make sense. So voluntarism is essentially free market anarchism.
We'll get to more details on that. I want to get to Pete first. You know, this, you know, government's our best recruiter, and this is just a good example. I mean, you have an entire generation that's come face to face with the illogic of the man. I mean, just they're like, there's got to be something better. You know, because that's what I get a lot of times. They'll say, well, Ernie, you know, from the conservative and more mature people in the audience, they'll say, well, you're just an anarchist. And I'm like, compared to what? What we got now? I vote anarchy, man. It could not possibly be. Oh, yeah, it could. No, it can't. I can't think of of any kind of a structure that would give a monopoly of force to guys with shiny badges and guns that like using it without any reason, without any logic, without any even a positive benefit, because they can. And I'm that, you know, that system's going to come crashing down. What happened to you, Pete? What got you going?
You know, just in high school, I kind of questioned authority a little bit, but I just, you know, I went to public schools, and then undergrad, I went to school for law enforcement, actually, and I was a outspoken opponent of the drug prohibition, and that was my big thing, personal freedoms, essentially, at the time. And then I was fortunate after college to be accepted at the Cato Institute as an intern, so I took that. I was involved with some programs at the Institute for Humane Studies, worked in essentially the libertarian think tank world in D.C. for just over 5 years or so, and, you know, learned a lot. I took think of as my views to their logical conclusions, and I did not allow for like a centralized bureaucracy or granting somebody authority or the use of legitimate force over aggressive force over somebody. So from that, I just figured my comparative advantage was talking to people, was doing some things like that. So I felt I could have a bigger impact being out on the road. So I quit my job in DC and went on the road with Motorhome Dyers last year, and Adam and I are going on the road again this summer with Liberty on tour. So,
okay, now, wait. I got some questions here, okay? I didn't know you spent that much time at Cato, 5 years. Here you have an attractive, fit, good-looking, young man that can articulate himself, passion, connects with, you know, your peers, young. That's not Cato, okay? Cato still, well, we'd like to have a velveted gloved man. Now, there's going to be a man, but we want to kind of put him in a box kind of thing. I can see already that you would come, you know, to, you know, some kind of conflict inside Cato. I had Bob Levy on, a couple of weeks ago. He was one of our first speakers in 2001, very first Freedom Summit. And I know there, well, you know, you're going to have a government, therefore we should work within and doing law. And I'm going, I don't know who you've been hanging out with, Bob, but that's not what's going to be, man.
Exactly. Yeah, I should correct. I didn't spend 5 years at Cato. I was only at Cato for like 5 months. I was just an intern there. But after that, I worked at into pre-med studies for 2.5 years. Then I worked at Bureaucrash and did another program. So,
tell me about the conversations you would have, the differences of opinion, seriously the premise that you own yourself that starts with Cato. Because I know, see, Cato split off. I mean, the audience probably doesn't know, and you probably know more than me, but because I don't pay attention. But Cato was kind of a split off from the Libertarian Party back in 79, 80, 81, around then anyway. You know, they were just, the Libertarian Party's not playing the way we want, so we're going to go and be, because the damn Libertarians, they're just too hippie. You know, they're tie-dye wearing, gun-toting, dope-smoking, kind of just not getting in the mainstream, and we're never going to get invited to all the best Christmas parties in Washington, D.C., being like that. And that's what they wanted. You know, so they kind of split off, and then all of a sudden they're quoted by Reagan and the Republicans and Cato this and Cato that, the libertarian think tank trying to take the word libertarian and turn it into, you know, Bob Barr. OK, and I'm going, wow. And I was you back in the early 90s. I saw it happen. I saw them try to do it. And the one thing that always comes out, they never anticipate, is just the people rising up against this kind of collective control. And the internet hit, and we saw it coming in 94. And we go, oh, Freedom's Phoenix was already in our heads in 96. So I saw what was coming. So when they do broadband video, I go, it's all over. So tell me where I'm off on that. Cato, you know, came from what, you know, what's your impression of that?
Yeah, there's a lot of truth there. I don't remember all the details specifically, but yeah, they were founded out in the Bay Area when the LP was active out there with Ed Crane, and Charles Koch was involved at the time, as was Murray Rothbard. And, you know, after Cato got founded, you know, they had some of the most active libertarians in the country at the time involved, and there still are there. But, you know, there was a difference in opinion in the direction it should take, and that's when Rothbard left or was kicked out, whatever side you come down on. And the Mises Institute came off the ground, and the Mises Institute has been great. They've been one of the pioneers of open source of all their materials, and they have a very principled, consistent line. So last year when we were on the road with MHD, the Mises or Lou Rockwell, like those, I would ask folks, like, how did you guys come to these ideas, if we would meet fellow voluntarists or anarchists or whatever, and it would be through, like, maybe a third of the people the website they would cite would be one of those two sites, Liberty or Mises or Lou Rockwell. So they are putting out a very powerful message, and just like you guys are doing, you guys are being innovators too. And I would tell folks, you know, if you can't move to New Hampshire yet to be part of the Free State Project, replicate Freedom's Phoenix model. And I put a number of people in touch with some of, like, Ben Nichols and some folks out there, and you guys were great, and I think really created some value.
We create a free state of mind. I mean, I don't care where you are. You know, it's always nice to have a group of people, though. And we got a pretty sizable group here. When you come here, you know you'll have a good time. You know, the one thing, though, is I want the audience to understand. The Libertarian Party, is, even though I run for national chair, and I'll go in and I'll doink them a little bit and we'll have some fun, and I'll just, you know, remind them just how far out of, you know, relevance they are. But the Libertarian Party itself, they're just playing politics. They're irrelevant to the Libertarian movement. You know, the Ron Paul Republican running for president in the Republican Party primaries, the Levolution itself was, you know, many times bigger than the Libertarian Party in freaking a couple of months. You know, this is just classic. Well, what happens is you'll see what happened in 1980, early 80s, when you say Koch, the Koch brothers, they're a wealthy, very, very, very wealthy family, multi-millions, okay? So they, you know, well, we got to take our football and go do whatever the heck they want with it. Well, fine, go, you know, because that was not what libertarianism was about. It's not about political power. It's about individual empowerment. So what happens is you have this line, and there's always this line. There's always this line. There is the logical conclusion of the joke goes like this. What's the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist? And the answer is about 6 or 7 years if you're paying attention, okay? it's about, you know, 2-3 election cycles, and you go, okay, I get it. You know, this is all crap. They're just, you know, BSing us. Well, you have some people, they want to wear their shiny ties. They want to go to the parties. They want to be influential. They want to be on TV. They want to be in Washington. They want to get their stuff published in Wall Street Journal. they want because their mother-in-law will respect them or something. They don't have enough self-esteem or confidence in the message to just do what you're doing. Well, some people did. Lou Rockwell, Mises Institute, Murray Rothbard, these guys, you know, Elliot Smith, these guys went, they went the other way. They said, you guys do whatever you want, take your ball, money, whatever, we don't care. And they go over here. Well, the kind of the battleground between these two is the Libertarian Party. They think that by getting Bob Barr, Wayne Allen Root, or these guys to be the nominee, all of a sudden they're going to control the definition of the word libertarian. And I'm going, no, you're not. It is defined by people like Rothbard, like Lou Rockwell, like Mises, like Adam and Pete, that are on the road advocating a voluntarist society, agorism. That is what, right now, I want you to go ahead in a few minutes, explain, one of you guys pick it up, and explain to the audience what it is that you guys are advocating in Keene, in New Hampshire, on your tour. Define it. What does it mean?
Well, Ernie, this is Adam again, and I'm glad to get in here at this time because I actually went to thevoluntarist.com just to give, and I thought this would fit well with what you're just saying about politics and being the theatrics of politics. So from thevoluntarist.com, what a voluntarist is voluntarists are advocates of non-political, non-violent strategies to achieve a free society. We reject electoral politics in theory and in practice as incapable of libertarian principles. Governments must cloak their actions in an aura of moral legitimacy in order to sustain their power, and political methods in variable strength and legitimacy. Voluntarists seek instead to delegitimize the state through education, and we advocate withdrawal of the corporation and the tactic consent on which the state power ultimately depends. So basically, we feel that voting is violence. It enables the system. We want to do things through voluntary interactions, and we encourage that through education and tactical dissent, as in civil disobedience and things, to withdraw the legitimacy and ultimate dependency of the state, is what a voluntarist.
Okay, now this tactic, when you go to a city park without paying your city permit and complying with the demands of the man, and you're going to be arrested, it's a misdemeanor. Or it's a, disorderly, kind of even lower than that. It's a ordinance violation or something. Or it's a, you're not compliant. Sooner or later, you say no to the man enough, you wind up dead, okay? So you go, nope, I'm not listening to you. Nope, I'm not going to comply. Nope, I'm not. Eventually, like,
well, Lauren. Exactly. I mean, and the big thing about civil disobedience is showing the gun in the room. I mean, a lot of people might say, I don't like you drinking beer in the park. And I actually want to make a video of this going around town saying, do you want people to drink beer in the park? And if people say no, I'm going to say, are you willing to give me $30 out of your pocket right now to put them in a cage? Because most people don't see that they're paying for it. And, I mean, civil disobedience not only shows the gun in the room, but also shows, like, in that case, people who wouldn't want to have that still wouldn't want to pay for it. I mean, things are rough as it is already. Who would want to pay $40 a night to keep a peaceful person who is just having a beverage, harming nobody, in a cage? When we start to relate it that way, and that's some of the goal of the civil disobedience, is to show also the violence that, hey, I'm sitting here peacefully drinking beer, not harming anybody, everybody's happy, and you show up and drag me away and hold up traffic and get people screaming and yelling because you're taking their friend and trying to extort money for them. And like I said, yeah, let me jump in here quick. This is Pete. To speak directly to this, our buddy Wes, who was arrested on Sunday here in Keene, today he sent out a little note that had a bunch of quotes on there. And to answer your question, I mean, if you're doing something that doesn't violate, like, natural law or aggressing upon somebody's rights, then you don't have anything to worry about. I mean, it's the people who choose to use the force against you that are the people that are the aggressors. So there's this quote here I want to read quick. It's from Martin Luther King. It says, which I think speaks well to this, what we're talking about. It says, ordinarily, a person leaving a courtroom with a conviction behind him would wear a somber face, but I left with a smile. I knew that I was a convicted criminal, but I was proud of my crime. So it's essentially the difference between arbitrary man-made legislation and natural law. They can put whatever they want on a piece of paper. They can have whoever they want with a fancy title or badges on their chest tell somebody to do something, but it doesn't make it right.
I'm hip, brother. I'm hip. When we come back, more with Pete Ayer, Adam Miller, Liberty Tour. Now, Liberty on Tour, there's so much more that I want to make sure we understand about. And do we need a government?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I'm proud in the shadow.
Cloud. I did. That's that Cold War thing. Be feared, be feared. And then it's like, now we got to be afraid of everything. There's a terrorist under every bush. Blah, 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 blah. And it's all about this support of this machine, you know, that's devouring us. Oh, and by the way, this big, giant, unsafe world that we created because of too big a government, you know, we need more government to protect you from it. I think we'll go another way. So this whole volunteerist thing, I just want to make sure that you guys, we put it up on today's archive of the show today. It is for Declare Your Independence morning show, July 21st. You see Pete Ayer and Adam Miller up there, the founders of Motorhome Diaries, now is Liberty on Tour. And this is going to be huge inside the Liberty movement, inside the volunteerist movement, inside this, you know, you're still voting movement, inside the Love-Volution. That had nothing to do with Dr. Paul's run for president. It had to do with the message that he had for people, the message that he could clearly articulate, the message that people were supportive of. This message is not going to die. You cannot kill an idea. And that idea, in the simplest terms, is, thou shalt leave me alone. If you're not leading, there are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? Well, which one are you, Adam and Pete?
I'm definitely one who doesn't want to control people, that's for sure. Ditto, most deaf.
So now we're going on, what do you think and your hope is for the result of this tour? You know, you're going to go out and it will springboard into what?
Well, I'm hoping that with Liberty on Tour, that again, we could be a medium for people to come out and, show us what they're up to, and we can highlight some activism and spread the ideas of Liberty. Like I said, we have a great cast of advertisers. You can go to libertyontour.com/advertisers to see Freedom's Phoenix, like yourself, and Liberty Radio Network, and a bunch of other folks that are on their board with us. And we hope to bring all these different perspectives on tour and let people, plant a seed and let people decide for themselves where, like Pete stated earlier, their logical conclusion takes them to. Personally, I feel that through my message as a volunteerist, I hope tell people that, the majority of people are already the non-voters. To take their ideas to the logical conclusion and just, broaden the ideas of liberty that they know of within a democracy and just take it that step further.
Okay, now this is a good point.
If your listeners, I don't know if we haven't mentioned where our route is yet, but essentially we're starting in New Hampshire. We're going to go to the following cities. So if anybody's in these areas and want to get together, we're having meetups in each town. We're going to be going out on the street doing in-person interviews, activism, whatever. And if there's some hot issues that we should cover, let us know. But we're going to New York, Philly, St. Louis, Denver, Salt Lake City, Reno, San Diego, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Austin, New Orleans, Birmingham, Atlanta, and Miami.
And you're
you can
not
see that at libertyontour.com/route.
You just go to libertyontour.com. It has all the goodies there. And I'll tell you this thing. If you think voting is going to make you free, you have not been paying attention. And these young people know this from their personal experience. This was the question we first started the Ron Paul Revolution. That was the big question. Even after we first started, a couple of months after, it became obvious what was going to happen. Even Dr. Paul didn't see what was coming. But we knew. And we said, a lot of the people, they said, look, if we do this, are we going to raise hopes in the political process? Are we going to trick people into thinking that they can use the political process to gain their freedom? And I made the argument, because I had gone through this, and I said, no, they're going to learn just how screwed up it is, and they are going to try something else. I give you libertyontour.com. Go learn more. Pete Ayer, Adam Miller, thank you guys for coming on. We're going to stay in touch, and we're going to promote you guys like we always know we could. We'll talk to you later, man.